Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I figured in the middle of all of this Last Dance hysteria, and I'm definitely feeling all sorts of nostalgic, talking some 90s NBA basketball, which is like my glory years. It's like my favorite period of watching the NBA because, listen, you're an impressionable young Knicks fan. You're rooting against Michael Jordan and Reggie Miller and Alonzo Mourning for all those years. I mean, it was a ton of fun. Maybe not the Jordan part, but you get my drift. Let's welcome in a guy who knows the inside and out of the history of this league. And I think he's one of the best guys talking NBA basketball with. He's one of the voices of SiriusXM NBA Radio, the great Justin Termini. JT, what's happening, brother?
Yeah, I'm like you. I was rooting against Jordan in the 90s, but then I like go back and I look at that documentary, and it makes me wish that I appreciated it a little bit more and I was actually rooting for him a little bit. But I'm like you. I was rooting for him to lose every series.
That's the amazing thing for me, JT. I think about my childhood. I rooted against Michael Jordan every single year. I watched this documentary, and maybe it's because society has changed quite a bit. Maybe it's because the NBA has changed quite a bit. But I just find it so refreshing to have this guy who is not going to be afraid to get in the face of a teammate, who is basically going to list off his enemies like he's Richard Nixon or Arya Stark in Game of Thrones. Like, JT, in this day and age, I go back and I rewatch that, and it's Jordan with the cigar, he's playing golf, he wants to win at everything, and how do you not respect the hell out of the guy?
Yeah, and he came off as a man as well, right? I mean, sometimes you look at some guys today, and I don't mean to, like, rip the modern generation, but they come off as kids, like on Twitter and Instagram and doing your Taco Tuesdays. Like, he dressed up in a suit to go to every single game. He acted like he was an adult, and then he went out there and he tried to slit your throat, basically, and win at all costs, and he held his teammates accountable, and it wasn't this passive-aggressive stuff. So I miss it desperately, and, you know, I'm glad in retrospect now that he won these six titles because it helps the argument that he's the greatest of all time, which I didn't want to admit at the time. But if you're going to put him up against LeBron and some of these modern-day players, I want him to be better than those guys. So I appreciate it, and I hope that it's something where younger kids are watching it today, and it drives them maybe to be a little bit more competitive and say, you know, I don't have to necessarily fall in line with the way that the NBA has become. I can go back there into the 80s and the 90s and get a little bit of a chip on my shoulder. I mean, that was maybe my favorite part, that we don't have guys fighting today, JJ, but this documentary really caused fights between a bunch of different guys. I mean, Pippen's fighting with the media with the way that he was portrayed. You got Jordan and Isaiah fighting. Bill Laimbeer gets involved. I loved all that stuff.
Amen. 1,000%. Let me ask you a simple question. In all your years of watching Michael Jordan, when was the moment for you, JT, where you jaw dropped? You're like, holy smokes, this guy is not just a great player. He's not just an all-star player. He's got a chance to be one of the best to ever do it. Do you remember when you came to that realization?
Yeah, I mean, you look at what he did in the 93 finals when he overcame the Suns, and I think that was the best opponent. He's averaged over 40 points per game, despite being fatigued at the end of the three-year run, and he's going up against Barkley, who I think was the best player that he actually faced after he started winning championships. Like, I think he was better than Magic in 91 and Clyde Drexler in 92, Stockton and Malone in 97 and 98. So, like, that's when. But then you look at what you saw in 98, right, when he closes it down. Think about retiring, JJ, after arguably the greatest sequence in NBA history. You're down by three with 41 seconds left. You make a very difficult layup, which you saw last night in the documentary. Then you go back down to the other end. And I know Karl Malone had the propensity to choke in big moments, but he's still the second leading scorer in NBA history. He's got two MVPs, and you strip the ball from him. Then you go back down the other end, and you knock down the shot. Think about that sequence. He's at what age is he? 35 years of age. He wins the MVP that year. He has one of the top five defensive plays in NBA history. And like 20 seconds later, he's got arguably one of the top five shots in NBA history. So that should have solidified it if you didn't think at any point prior to that that he was the best of all time.
We're obviously going to agree that the last year of each three-peat was when the Bulls are the most vulnerable. The Knicks Eastern Conference Final, the final you mentioned against Barkley and the Suns. And then you look at 97-98. Indiana pushing him to the brink and that jump ball, which obviously changed the fortunes of that game, and Kerr knocking down the outside shot. And then, of course, the game six in Utah. But, JT, why Phoenix over Utah? Like, I look at that home court advantage Utah would have had in a game seven. The fact that Scottie Pippen would have been all sorts of hobbled. To me, if there was a year the Bulls were going to get picked off, I would have looked at 97-98 because, you know what, you're getting compromised, Scottie Pippen. I don't care if Michael Jordan's putting on a Superman cape. That, to me, was the time the Bulls could have gotten knocked off.
Well, I agree. They might not have been healthy in that game seven or with Pippen, so that could have been concerning. I'm talking about the best opponent they faced, and I think the best opponent was Phoenix. And don't forget, Phoenix would have had home court there in that game seven as well if Paxson didn't knock down that shot. So it was vital that Paxson knocks down that shot. And the next night, you're going back there with home court for Phoenix, and I just felt Barkley was at his apex, right? I mean, in 93, because he was in shape. The problem for Barkley is he was just never in shape, right? And then in 93, he had played in the Olympics the prior year. So while it tired out Jordan and Pippen playing in the Olympics, it actually helped Barkley because, it had him organized over the summer instead of him, guzzling down chili dogs. So he was in shape. And he was so good that year that nobody even said, like, all right, well, Jordan's in his prime and Barkley won the MVP. Like, nobody argued with it. That's how good he was. And Kevin Johnson was great that year, although he didn't show up in those first two games, and Phoenix fell behind 2-0. If Johnson did anything, they win there. Dan Majerle was a really good defensive player. Ainge was a savvy veteran, even though he made the mistake at the end where he leaves Paxson open and he doubles down on Horace Grant. I just felt that was their best team.
We got the great Justin Termini, Sirius XM NBA Radio. JT, better team overall, the first Jordan three-peat, the second Jordan three-peat?
That's difficult just because I think that, obviously he was at his athletic apex. I think for the first three-peat and the second three-peat, it was more of just having the know-how to do things and the confidence in that respect. I'll say the second one just because I think if you go like four or five deep on that roster, behind Pippen and Jordan, you obviously have Rodman, but then I think you got Kukoc, you got Ron Harper defensively. So I think they were a little bit deeper with that second three-peat. What do you think? Do you think it's the first one or the second one?
You know, it's a great question because I would take Horace Grant with the Bulls over Rodman with the Bulls. Now, I'm not talking the duration of their careers. If you're talking Rodman with the Bad Boy Pistons, entirely different player. I thought Horace Grant gave him a little bit more offense, but I'm with you because of the overall depth. Kerr really hit some big shots for that team. We saw that in the documentary, in the Indiana series. I mean, three-point percentage was off the charts. And Kukoc was a big leg up, and so was Ron Harper. I mean, I look at the overall roster, and I would probably say advantage second three-peat. And the amazing thing is, JT, even though Michael maybe wasn't the athlete that he was, in 91, 92, 93, look at the numbers, they're still just as good.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And then again, like I said, the final couple of plays there of that series against Utah where he knocks down the shot, he makes the defensive play. So obviously he wasn't struggling there at all. And I think the league was weaker at that time as well, right? Because you got the influx of the additional teams coming in via expansion. So that helped their win total get bloated a little bit as well. And while I think Jordan's the greatest player of all time, I think it's a fallacy to say that that was the best team of all time, even though they're racking up the 72 wins, followed by the 69 wins. I still think you got the 80s Lakers and Celtics that are better, maybe even the 83 Sixers, just because the depth on those teams, because the league was a little bit smaller, so you had Hall of Famers coming off the bench. You didn't have that for the Bulls in the 90s.
Okay, JT, this is the ultimate hypothetical, and I've wondered this quite a bit, and I know anytime I do national radio, I get all sorts of heat from people in Houston, because I do believe if Michael Jordan does not retire the first time, they keep winning. I mean, I'm not going to bet against the guy. He was that dominant. He was that good. He was that driven. So I guess this is twofold, JT. Jordan doesn't retire. Do they win those two titles that Hakeem and the Rockets got? And number two, if Jordan and the whole gang come back for the lockout shortened season, how many more titles are we looking at from a Chicago standpoint?
I think they win one more, all right? So I'll give you the one in 1999, because you're going to tell me the Knicks is the eighth seed, are going to come out of the Eastern Conference and finally beat the Bulls. No, that's not going to happen. And then you got San Antonio, who, while good, right, and they were a very good defensive team that year. I mean, Tim Duncan's in his second year. So you're going to take Tim Duncan, as great as he is, one of the top 10 players in the history of the sport, in his second year against that Chicago team. And I know Jordan missed significant time there, would have missed significant time, because he cut himself on a cigar cutter. You got Pippen, who's dealing with the back issues. But I'm still not betting against them. So I would have given them the title in 99. Then I don't think they're beating the Lakers after that in 2000, 2001, 2002. And one of the reasons is you look at all the centers that the Bulls faced in the NBA Finals. Now, again, they faced Ewing on their way to the Finals. But once they got to the Finals, they never faced a big-time center. You're going to have to stop Shaq in that situation in 2000. Especially now you're talking about 7 or 8 runs to the finals, so I think you're fatigued. And then I also disagree. So while I give them the 99 one, JJ, I can't give them the titles there in 94 and 95 against Houston. One, because I think they were burnt out at the end of 93, and you saw that with the way that they handled the Knicks, and they really should have lost that series, right? I mean, 57 wins in 93, that was the worst amount of wins that they had during the 6 championships. They should have lost to the Knicks. I mean, they were down 2-0 in that series. Jordan played horribly in game 3. They got out of there with the win. Game 5, you got Charles Smith, so they were on the precipice there. And then they just matched up poorly against Houston because, again, they're trying to stop Hakeem Olajuwon, and I just think it was a bad matchup. So, I don't think they – I think Houston wins at least one of those two titles, 94-95.
Fascinating. I'm glad you brought up the Knicks, because as – great a time as that was, JT. And listen, compared to what they've dealt with over the last 20 years, I'll take that sort of pang and anguish, because every year, come April, come May, and in many years, June, the Knicks were playing. They were alive and well. There was a buzz. There was good feelings around Madison Square Garden. Do you look at the 92-93 team as the team that was the best in the Patrick Ewing era? I mean, that team, 2-0 up on the Bulls, riding high. The Jordan Atlantic City story, I think, was the worst thing that ever happened to them, because it just gave additional fuel to the fire for Michael Jordan to all of a sudden get motivated and come and stick it to you, and that's exactly what they did in the later part of that series. Is it 92-93? Is it 93-94? But I'll give you another one, JT. And I think they would have matched up well with this Bulls team. I don't know if they would have won, because you know what? They never beat Michael Jordan. But the 96-97 team, in which you had the P.J. Brown, Charlie Ward fight, the whole Knicks team comes off the bench. That team played well against Chicago, I remember, throughout the regular season. So any of those three, 92-93, 93-94, 96-97, what was Patrick's best team?
Yeah, they went to the finals, I mean, twice, right, during the 90s, and I still think it was that 93 team that was the best team, because they really should have won game 3. Like, you mentioned that the worst thing that ever happened to them was Jordan going down to Atlantic City, the media making a big deal about that. Jordan actually came back in game 3 and wasn't any good. I mean, Jordan was 3 of 18 in that game, and I talked to Jeff Van Gundy a couple of weeks ago, and he points to that game as the one, not the Charles Smith game, he points to that one that really slipped away. They had the opportunity going up 3-0, then he gets the 50-plus point games in game 4, and then you have the opportunity there with Charles Smith getting blocked a million times or getting fouled from the Knicks' perspective, which really, could have swung it in their direction, put them up 3-2, but they don't end up winning another game in that series. So yeah, I think that was the best team that they had during that run, was that 93 version.
We got the great Justin Termini of SiriusXM NBA Radio. And, you know, JT, it's remarkable to think about those Bulls teams. And we all know Michael Jordan goes off, he plays baseball for a year. scratches the itch, decides to come back. He's bringing back 45 like I do on the craps table when I'm trying to hit a nine. I mean, we're all trying to bring it back like Jordan. But, you know, a lot of people forget about the fact that they lost that series to the Orlando Magic. Carrying Horace Grant off the court. Nick Anderson talking smack, saying 45 ain't 23. Isn't it remarkable now to, like, look at NBA history and that Magic team that had Shaq, that had Penny, that had Dennis Scott, that had Horace Grant, Nick Anderson, really, really good team. You thought in many ways they were about to be the next dynasty of the NBA, and that just goes completely by the wayside.
Yeah, we had Pat Williams on a couple of days ago, and Pat Williams, the guy that constructed that team, right? And he said, if I were to tell you and put you all the way back in like 95, 94, when you're getting that victory, and said, hey, you're not going to win a championship, right? You will not win one championship. And he said, I thought you're crazy. Pat Williams thought they were going to win multiple championships because you got Hardaway, who comes into the league looking like he's Magic Johnson, right? He's like, what, a 6'8" point guard. You got Shaq at the, you know, he's already in the NBA Finals 2 or 3 years into his career, you know, in 94. And then they never, or 95, you know, they never end up breaking through, and Shaq leaves, and they made the mistake by like lowballing him when he entered free agency. But yeah, I mean, you have different teams like that throughout NBA history, right? I think we went through it with Oklahoma City as well, where you got Durant, you got Westbrook, you got Harden. They go to the finals all within 21, 22. You think they're going to win multiple championships. They don't even get back to a finals.
JT, it's the million-dollar question, and everybody's looking for an answer. And listen, I don't have one. You don't necessarily have one. But it seems like with Cuomo and Newsom and a bunch of these governors now on board with the idea of live sports sooner rather than later, it moves us in a direction where there's going to be NBA basketball. Gut feel at this point. You think this season picks up again?
Yeah, I think that they're just desperate to fit it in right now. Do I necessarily agree with it going so far that it impacts next season as well? So then we have next season compromise? Not necessarily, but I certainly understand it from the perspective of the players who just got 25% taken out of their last paycheck, right? Why they would want to do it. I understand it from the owner's perspective. The area where they make their money is postseason basketball. They're not making it, you know, for a regular season game in February or March or January. They're making it with the postseason. They're making it with the NBA Finals, and just the impact it would have on the collective bargaining agreement moving forward, and, you know, in the ceiling and the revenue, you know, and the salary cap. You could see why they want to fit it in. So I think they're going to do everything they can to get it fitted in.
JT, what if I told you moving forward, and I see your point about not trying to compromise next year. What if the NBA started their season Christmas Day every single year and went to like mid to late July or maybe even early August for that matter? Is that a change you'd be on board with?
I would not be on board with that, and I don't think the players would either, which would be a big hurdle because you think...
What is that, the idea of sacrificing their summer for the players? I mean, that's got to come into play, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, and Damian Lillard addressed it already, right, where he said, you know, my kids got the summer off. I want to be there with my kid. Plus, they want the benefit of the good weather as well. So I think that's one of them. And then the big logistical issue, right, and I know that people in New York, they have this issue in multiple cities, but I lived in New York for a while. And what's on the YES Network? Is it just the Nets? No, you got the Nets and the Yankees. So what happens with that, right? With the television rights that are impacted there as well, when instead of just overlapping maybe for the first 15 days of April, all of a sudden it becomes every single night where you got the Nets are playing on YES, you got the Yankees that are playing on YES, and I think that becomes a mess with the television deals as well.
All right, JT, final one before we get you out of here. What conspiracy do you enjoy more with Michael Jordan? Is it the retirement for a year and a half and all the theories that were thrown around when it comes to that? Or is it what we heard with the flu game? As apparently maybe it was some food poisoning, some bad pizza. So listen, you don't have to tell me you're a believer in either one of these conspiracy theories, but if there's one that maybe catches your interest that much more, what would it be?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how any one of them is true, by the way, because you think David Stern is going to suspend his moneymaker. He's going to do whatever
No chance.
Exactly.
And JT, like nobody loves one more than me. You know I'd love that to be the case. You think David Stern wanted him playing baseball for a year? No chance.
No, it's like I always said with Major League Baseball, right? It's okay if Barry Bonds or Mark McGwire is outed for the steroids. You think that the baseball is going to allow it to come to light that Derek Jeter is on steroids? No, because if Jeter's on him, then everybody in the sport is on him, right? So I think that's the same thing with baseball. I mean, with basketball, is they understand that that's like the moneymaker. They're not gonna suspend him. So I don't buy that one. I also probably don't see how it could be a hangover with the flu game either. Like, I buy the pizza more than I do the hangover, even though the pizza's ridiculous. I mean, what does he call him up and go, this is Michael Jordan, deliver me the pizza, and everybody in the pizza crew, like down at Domino's, you know, knows that it's Jordan, so five of them show up. That's ridiculous as well. But do you really think Jordan, you know, the Nike, I know he does some crazy things. I know he went to Atlantic City when they're down 2-0, right, or down 1-0. Like, you're telling me that before a crucial game five, when the series is tied 2-2, that he's going to go out and get so hammered that he can't play the next day? That doesn't make sense to me either.
Justin Termini, check him out, SiriusXM NBA Radio. JT, hopefully the next time I can talk to you, we're breaking down, I don't know, Bucks-Clippers NBA Finals, and maybe in Vegas, maybe it's in Orlando, who knows where it is, but if it's basketball on my screen and you and I could shoot the breeze about it, I'm cool with that. So stay safe, my friend. Enjoy the California sunshine, and we will catch up soon, all right?
Yeah, sounds good, JJ. Thanks for having me on. Stay healthy there, and let's kill some time here and get basketball back.
That would be nice. There you have it. Great stuff there from Justin Termini.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.